have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, everybody, give God a praise in the temple. Tonight we have a prayer. You know you need a word from the Lord. Lift your hands in his atmosphere and say, Lord, speak to me. Come on, fellowship, help me say, Lord, give us a word. Give us a word. World's in trouble, Lord. Give us a word. Our families are in trouble, Lord. Give us a word. We surrender ourselves unto you. We say all we need. Just one word.
Just one word.
Won't you join in with the worship, everybody? Lift your hands and say, Lord, give us a word. Come on, let's sing. Give us a word. God, our lives are going to be better when you speak to us. Hallelujah. Children are coming home when you speak to us. Come on, you know it by now. Come on, say all we need. Come on, say it. Say it till you believe it. Come on, just lean on them and say all we need. Just one word. What the Lord promised that you would. We know things are getting better for you. Things are getting better for me. Somebody just wave back at me and say, I know that's right. I know that's right. You promised you would. You got it by now. Come on, lift your hands and say all. Just one word. Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, things are getting better. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. Because
all we need.
Just one word. Come on, stand up on your feet. I need about three more people to stand up on your feet and help me say, you promised you would. Point up to heaven with a sign of victory and say, you promised you would heal my land.
You would heal our land.
Somebody's singing it like you really believe it. Come on, say, you promised you would.
You promised you would heal our land.
Look at your neighbor and say, I see things are getting better for you. Come on, say, all I need is just one word. Just one word. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter what the lawyer says. But all I need is just one word.
All I need.
Just one word.
Just one word from you.
Things are getting better for me. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. All we need is just one word from the Lord. God bless you tonight. I'm your co-host, Apostle Brian Blassingame from for his glory. I'm also here with the Lord, and I'm also here with my host, Dr. Kimmy Kim. And we just like to say welcome to you, and thank you for joining us once more again on For His Glory. Well, we hope everybody had a safe and enjoyable Fourth. We pray that maybe you got some things resolved. We thank you, and we thank God that you had a chance to spend some time with family. And prayerfully, some of you may have traveled, and we thank God that you may have made it back home safely. And we're thankful for God for that. Well, tonight, I think I'm going to deal with a little subject here because I keep running into certain things over and over again. And tonight I'm going to talk about the apostolic covering, the covering or the anointing of the apostle. But before I get into it, let me go into having a word of prayer over this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you, Lord God, for our producer. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are, and we thank you, Lord God, for those who may be listening tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we bring forth this word, we thank you, Lord God, that you would give us clarity of mind, clarity of speech, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that everything be done in decency and in order. But most of all, we pray, Lord God, that you be glorified from it in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as the song goes, or as it was going, it was saying that we do need a word from the Lord. And it only takes just one word from the Lord to make everything all right again. I want to deal with this, touch on this apostolic anointing because I keep running into different things, different situations. And it seems to me that some people don't actually know what that office actually means, what it does. There's five offices. The Bible refers to them as office of gifts. And that will be in the book of Hebrews, I believe it's around the 4th chapter, 12th verse. It talks about how God first gave unto the church, first apostles, and then prophets, and then evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. Each one of those places or offices, they function differently. And as I was speaking in one other prophetic conference, is that the Bible tells us that signs and wonders follow those who believe. That is true. That is scriptural. Can't argue with that. No doubt about it. And that can take place instantly. The minute you get saved, the minute you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can operate in some of the gifts of the Spirit. I've seen that happen. I've seen it taking place in the earlier part of my ministry where certain people would get saved. And then they would go through and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then they would also go into the prophetic, and they could also prophesy as well. Now, and that is all well, good, and dandy. However, we also have to realize that what God prefers to, or what we know as we're in the body of Christ, but we're also an army. Mm-hmm. We're also an army. I know y'all probably in the church long enough. I don't know if they're still singing some, but they used to sing a song when I was in there saying, you know, I am in the army of the Lord, and then somebody else, in the army, And then they say, I'm going to fight my fight in the army of the Lord. And then they say, you know, in the army. And they take up, you know, I'm going to take up my shield in the army. And so forth and so on. So on. We are in an army. That's what Ephesians, I believe it was Ephesians 6, talks about. When he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. We are in an army. Now, I said it to say this. There has never been an army exist or that exists that's run only by the foot soldiers. There's never an army that exists by just having the foot soldiers. So in the body of Christ, when we say believers, those would be just what we call everyday foot soldiers. So in the army, United States, the army, you know, I'm not a military type guy, but in that army, we have sergeants, lieutenants, first lieutenants, corporals, captains, admirals. We have all of this, which are higher ranking. Officers, offices in the military. So they're also in the army, but their rank is higher than your ordinary foot soldier. So in the army of God, instead of having admirals, captains, sergeants, lieutenants, versus to command and all that. Instead of us having that in the body of Christ, we first have the apostle, then we have the prophet, and then we have the evangelist, and then we have the pastor, and then we have the teacher. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up because I've heard some people say, "Well, that's so confusing." No, it's not confusing because it's written in the Bible. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. The only confusion that you get is that, I'm being real with you, there's something about it you just don't want to receive. The apostle, even as I explained it, the apostle, if you take your hand, you got five fingers and one thumb, if you start off with the apostle being your thumb can touch each and every other finger. That will be the apostle. So the apostle, and then you got your fourth finger, which will be the prophet. Okay? The prophet is the seer. He's the eyes and the mouthpiece of God. The prophet and the apostle works close together. Then you have the evangelist. It's the longest finger. Your longest finger. The evangelist is for outreach. Yeah, that's actually the one that goes about hitting the highways, the byways, compelling men and women that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of salvation is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Okay, then the evangelist brings people actually into the church, where the church as the pastor. Is the one who nurtures and grows up the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He watches over the flock. He watches over the soul. You have the teacher. So what has happened throughout the years, most people are only familiar with the teacher. They're only familiar with the pastor. Or back in the day, they used to call them the rail or reverend. And there was very few times that we came in contact with the evangelist. And there were very few times with the, later on, I want to say 80s, 90s, something like that. Then you start seeing a little bit more and more about the prophets. But anyway, God is in this section of time where he's aligning the body back up. To where the body can function properly. The only problem is that some people don't want to believe that certain areas of this other body is actually working. Now, I want to talk about the apostle because, like I said, the apostle touches and operates in all five offices. He operates in all five offices. And I think we're in an era to where now we look for boom, a big move, or whatever, out of the apostles. And I think that we're seeing a big boom from the apostle, but it's not on the level that what we're actually looking for or what we're actually wanting to see. However, we must realize this, is that the apostle's job is to build. He is to build, okay? So when we say build, a lot of times we go in the mind of that apostle is not operating, he's not functioning as an apostle because he don't have a church. And that's one of the biggest errors that we have in thinking or believing that. Or, better yet, we want to think, well, I don't see any people following him. Well, just because you don't see any people following him don't mean that he's not doing the work of the Lord or the work of an apostle. He may have several following him, but you just don't see him with your eye, your naked eye. That's one of the reasons why God told David not to censor. You know, that was one time that David wanted to go out and count the number of people that was with him so that he could prepare for this battle. And God is not caught up in numbers. And I don't mean he'll be. The thing about it is that are you able or are you building people? Because, see, when we say building the church, a lot of times we want to look at the fact or we want to say that we're looking for a physical building. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for an apostle to be a pastor of a church because, like I said, they operate in both capacities. I've known some apostles who have churches, and I've known some who are apostles but don't yet have a church and may have a church eventually. But yet the thing about it is that they go from church to church. And a lot of times when people see people going from church to church, they want to call them church hoppers. It's not necessarily so. Sometimes God will lead you to different churches for a season to help build the people in that particular church. Sometimes in the process of building, they have to bring for correction in different churches. Sometimes when they bring for correction, when the correction is not received and God moved them away, you'll start beginning to see that ministry begin to suffer. You'll start seeing that ministry begin to dry up and wither away. I don't know. Well, somebody need to hear this. Yeah, that's why I'm here. But anyway, that's a part of apostle doing what God has called them to do. And sometimes they will prophesy particular words, and the words will come to pass. And what we sometimes think may not be that big of a miracle because we didn't see an arm jump out or we didn't see somebody grow their foot back. It may not seem like a miracle to us because we're on the outside looking in, but it may be a miracle to someone else, even in the area of where it may be. A place of where you spoke a particular word and it unlocked someone's mind. Their mind might not have been functioning the way it needed to be functioning. The doctors may have given somebody X number of days or months to live, but God gave you a word to speak to where the assignment of death has been knocked off and now they're still living. It may be that the doctors have told someone you're not able to bear children, and God sent in an apostle or a prophet to prophesy to you and say, yeah, thus saith the Lord, by this time next year you'll have a child, and thus saith the Lord, because thus saith the Lord said it, it outweighs what the doctor said, and they become fruitful and can produce children. But the thing is that, you know, I like to go here with us so many times, and I understand this, I get this too, that a lot of people have taken on or said that they were apostles when they weren't apostles. Same thing. Some have said they were prophets when they weren't prophets. Same thing. There were some that said they were pastors when they weren't pastors. Same thing with teachers and evangelists. But that's something like, you know, that's, the word has told us that in the last day there will be false prophets that would raise up amongst you. But the thing about it is if you have the Spirit of God in you and you have a relationship with God, you'll know or you'll be able to distinguish the difference between a false prophet and the true and living prophet. You will be able to know. How will I know? Because God himself will validate them. God himself will validate them. If they begin to prophesy anything to you, whatever does say the word of the Lord, it will come to pass. Sometimes it may take a while for it to come to pass, but even in your waiting, God will still confirm what he has said, even if he has to send another prophet, another evangelist, another apostle, or if he had to speak it to you again himself. Or maybe, you know, you pick up the word again, and bop, there it is. When you open it up, it pops back up in your face again. That's the way God speaks. You be going down the road and look up and see, just fine. And God will bring that thing back to you. Remember on a billboard. Remember when that prophet spoke that particular word to you? That was me. So the thing about it is that these offices, I don't like to call them titles because in so many times people have abused it. And when I got them on a little old piece of paper and had it printed up and said that, you know, I'm this, that, and the third now. But I'm going to say this. I had someone tell me that warfare don't make you an apostle, or don't make you a prophet or anything like that. That's part of ministry. But I have to somewhat beg the difference. It doesn't make you that. It doesn't make you, the warfare doesn't make you an apostle. Warfare doesn't make you a prophet or evangelist or pastor or teacher. But what it does is it validates your calling. It validates the position or the office that God has placed you in. And the reason I say that is because you will hear this saying, and you'll hear it saying more times than once, another level, another devil. Each time you are promoted into another place in the spiritual realm, there's going to be another fight. There's going to be another warfare to test the anointing that God has placed on you. Once he placed that anointing on you, that test come and you pass that test, you are then validated by God. And when you're validated by God, you will stand that test. That test will validate that you are who God said you are. You are who God said you are the minute it came out of your. And someone said, well, you know, you got to be walking in. Well, just because you wasn't around me when I was walking in, no, I was walking in. Woo! See, there's some can see you walking in your office, your gifts, your anointing. and others are still probably scratching their head and wondering when are you gonna come about, and they probably don't miss probably the biggest moves of God that you've already experienced in your life, but it doesn't make you less of who God called you to be. I see, the minute it came out God's mouth, you became who God said you were. Scripture. Remember Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, he said, I called you. I knew thee. I called you from your mother's womb to become or to be a prophet to the nations. And the minute that came out of God's mouth, the calling was on Jeremiah's life. He was a prophet. The minute God said, I called you to be a prophet to the nations, whether he was walking in it or not, he was still what God called him to be. Let that marinate. He was still what God called him to be, even from his mother's womb. And likewise with you. So sometimes we need to sit back and try to get with God and try to figure out exactly just what it is that God has called us into. What is our call? What is your call? What is your calling? I want to read this little devotional here, and it talks about how God does call his people. He says, I have called you to be my apostle, and I have covered you with an apostolic anointing. You are appointed and an apostle to speak the truth in Christ, to be a teacher of the unbelievers in faith and truth. Fix your thoughts. On my son Jesus, who is the apostle and high priest whom you have confessed and now serve. Be faithful to the one who has appointed you. Just as Moses was faithful in my house, be a builder of my house. But remember that I am the builder of everything. Hold on to your courage and the hope in which you boast. Listen. He talked about how faithful Moses is and how faithful Moses is. And even though Moses is or was faithful, he talked about how he built. And that's what Moses did. He built. Now, he was known as a prophet, but he built from slaves an actual nation. He built an actual army. So in his doing, he too had what we would call an apostolic anointing, because he built people. He built people. And God referred to his house, or refers to his house, as the church. So we have to keep focused that even though we may not feel like building people is all that much, but it's a task, and it's very important. It's very important, especially because of what's taking place in today's world. Right now, we're being overwhelmed with lies. We're being overwhelmed with homosexuality. We're being overwhelmed with murder, with crime. We're being overwhelmed with all types of things, false religions on an all-time high, devil worshiping on an all-time high, racism on an all-time high. All these different things are coming about, false doctrines, false religions, on an all-time high. Well, all this is coming out now. It's just showing us really that it is time for the Lord to make coming back to the earth again, to gather up his people. And what we must do is stay focused and stay faithful to the hope. And say, no, I noticed how he said, the hope in which we boast on. We boast only in Christ Jesus. We boast only on the Lord. I remember Paul, he had written that too. He said, I boast not of myself, but I boast only in the Lord, because it is not I that do this. It is not I, even though God used me as a vessel to preach the word, God used me as a vessel to prophesy the word, God used me in different areas, but it's still really not I who gets the glory for it, but it is God that gets the glory for it through me. I give all honor, I give all praises back to God. Because without him, I really can do nothing, nothing at all. And that's just the way it is. I know some people like to take credit for certain things, and and I've seen people, even in ministry, miss the mark. Bless their heart. I've seen people miss the mark pertaining to things like that. They somehow get caught up in the fact that they've been in ministry for so long, and they've done it for so long, and they get to the place where sometimes they feel like they don't need to follow God's instruction. And I've seen some of them jack up immensely by doing such, and it's never been a pretty sight. It has never been a pretty sight when that takes place. And God does, in cases like that, I've seen him where he does or will send different apostles, different pastors, different prophets and stuff like that to warn people that and let them know they're going a little bit too far to the left, a little bit too far to the right. And I need you to, straighten this thing up a little bit. And when they straighten it up a little bit and they do what God has them to do, then everything turns out all right. I want to look at 2 Peter 2:1. And I just mentioned that it just came out of my mouth just a few minutes ago. When I look at 2 Peter 2:1, it says, but there, and I'm coming from the NIV now, it says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Okay, and this is true. God didn't allow false prophets continue to prosper. But he did say that there was false prophets. They did arise back then, and they arise now. Some people can't understand what's really going on in our world today. And some people can't understand why certain people are having it hard, and they feel like, oh, the whole world is just against them. No. What has happened in some cases is that some people has allowed people to put them up on pedestals. Some people have allowed people to set them up as idols. And because of it, and because they didn't tell the people, I'm not your God, I'm not God, they're getting caught up in a whole lot of stuff. And people can't understand, well, why is this happening? It's because God is showing you that's a false God. There is no God but me. Besides me, then there is no other God. And what God is trying to, and at the same time, what God is doing is saying, look back to the heel which cometh all your help. You've been having your trust in this person to do this, You've been having your trust in that person to do that. You've been having your trust to do this, that, and the third, but I am your source. Huh. But some people are so determined that even if they on that horse and they see that horse getting ready to go off the cliff, they're gonna stay on that horse until it rolls off the cliff. Well, anyway, to God be the glory. There would be false prophets. And God said that they would bring, he said they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Denying the Lord. Denying that he is who he says he is. Denying the Lord. Not doing what God called them to do, not being submissive to God, but only doing what they want to do. Disobeying even the laws of the land, the highest laws of the land. Set yourself up for destruction. That's what he's talking about. It's, oh, have mercy. Anyway, I'm still talking about us being in the last days and how we got to rely on what God has said in the body of Christ, that we may function and prosper in the things of God. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2. Yeah, 1 Timothy 2. And we'll look at the seventh verse. Verse 7. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. Now, this is Paul. Is Timothy telling them or identifying, telling them with them who he is, and that he's not lying. He is a teacher. He is a preacher of the gospel, and this is what he's delivering to them. Again, like I said, he's validating himself, or he's allowing God to validate him. But he's just telling people who it is that they have and who and whom have sent him. A question came to my mind this other day because a lot of people get caught up. A question that came to my mind the other day because, like I said, a lot of people get caught up on how many members do you have? Do your church, you know, where is your church? How many churches do you have? All this and the third. But, you know, I thought about it. Paul went from church to church. I didn't see anywhere in there where he was actually a pastor of any particular church. But he went from church to church, building the people, building the church. But like I said, a lot of times I think a lot of us get sidetracked as to what we think some of these offices ought to be, how they ought to function, and or, you know, when they should function. But, yeah. God has everything in order and in decent order. I want to look at Hebrews now, if we can. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. I need to turn this light on. Hebrews 3, starting at the first verse. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. But every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Check it out. He's saying that Jesus was or is apostle. Jesus was faithful or is faithful. And actually, he described and let us know that Jesus is even the greater one, even pertaining to Moses. Moses was great. Yes, he was. But there's one that was after Moses who became even greater, even unto the cross. I remember as I was reading this, I remember the one particular passage. There was this one time that Jesus went aside to pray, and he took Peter, John, and I believe it was Matthew with him. And when he took them with him, they saw the transfiguration of Christ. I believe it was Peter who said, "My Lord," he said, "it is good," because they saw Moses from the dead, and they saw Jesus who was there, and they saw Elijah the prophet that was there. And Peter was saying, "It was good. It is good that we are here with you, because we can build a throne. We can build an altar, one to you, one to Moses, and one to Elijah." Well, when he said this or made this statement, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came on the scene and spoke audibly to him and said, "This is my only begotten Son." He said, "Hear ye him." In other words, there's no need to try to put up no throne for Moses. Moses was good. He was great. And there's no need to try to put up a throne for Elijah. He was good, great, awesome, you know, in the prophetic and all that. He said, "But I don't have but one only begotten Son, and that's Jesus. Hear ye him." And that's another reason why we have to be very careful about how we don't allow others to come in and take Jesus' place or take his place. It's so easy sometimes for us to build a throne and place someone on it and think they can do no harm, they can do no, we're living in a time right now to where God can expose and God can and uncover all he wants to, but because people have set people in certain places, they can see the wrong and think they can do no wrong. I put it I heard it come out of their mouth like that. They said they can see them do wrong and still, "I'm still for that. I'm okay with it. They can't do no wrong." Knowing good and well if they're wrong. It reminds me of the time that Jesus went to the cross, or right before he went to the cross, there was a known thief, a criminal named Barabbas. They knew he was a criminal. They knew he was a thief. They knew it. And Pilate said, concerning Jesus, "I got to let one of them go. I got to let one of them go, either Barabbas or Jesus." And he said, now, Jesus, I find no fault with the man. Which one do I need to let go? And the crowd hollered, Barabbas. They knew he was guilty. They knew he was a criminal. They knew he was a thief. And they still chose Barabbas over an innocent man. Let that settle in the spirit too. When I look at things, I just realize and know that the end is near, because those type things are taking place right before our very, very eyes. Right before our very eyes, those things are taking place. I'm going to look back again at the fifth verse where it says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. He was a prophet. Like I said, he spoke things before they existed or what before they happened. He would speak things. But Christ is faithful as a son over all God's house. And we are his house. Now, that goes back again to confirming what I was saying before. The house is not necessarily the church building. When he talks about us being the house, we are the house. When he talks about us being the building, he's talking about our soul actually being the church. We being the church. We being the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. Whether we have church outside, whether we have church inside, whether we have church in, you know, I know that there's been some that had to have church, you know, in secret, in backside alleys and stuff like that. But it was still the church. It was still the church. But anyway, that's where, you know, we're talking. We have to have those who are faithful to the call, faithful to God, most of all, faithful to one another. Yeah, I did that right. Some of us have got to be more faithful to one another, being faithful to the call, being faithful to one another, being faithful to the church. We it's a must that we get there, or that we stay there. Of course, you know, all of us at one point or another can think or realize that there's still more that we can do or more that we need to do. I mean, a couple of things I need to do myself. You know, we're working on doing it. So I pray that y'all pray for me too as I pray for you all. But yes, God desires us. God desires and he does cover us in an apostolic anointing. One that protects, covers, one that, you know, gives us insight, the whole nine yards. This is just a prayer of declaration. Father, I receive multiplied grace and peace through the apostolic anointing you have given to me. I am your humble servant, and I speak the truth in Christ, so that unbelievers may know your love and mercy and become a partaker of your righteousness. I look to Jesus as my example, and I will faithfully and encouragingly be a builder of your kingdom. That's the whole in the shell. Not to just get saved, not just to become a believer, but that once you believe and once you receive, you desire to see others grow in the grace whereby you have grown. That's the whole ball in the ball game there, is that, you know, when it was Jesus said, once you've been converted, strengthen the brethren. And that's what it's all about. Iron sharpening iron. That we may all one day make it through those pearly gates and hear him say, job well done. Well, I'm not going to hold you long tonight, but we thank you for being with us. And we thank you as we depart. We don't want to depart from God's spirit, but we'll depart until next time, next week. Now, if you've been listening and you haven't received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you'd like to, you can contact me on Facebook under Brian Blessingame. That's B-R-Y-A-N. And Blessingame, B-L-A-S-S-I-N-G-A-M-E. On Facebook, I'm also on Instagram, but I'm also on Snapchat. You can catch me there. I'll be glad to pray with you, pray for you. And if you'd like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior right now, all you have to do is repeat after me as we pray what we call the sinner's prayer. And it goes like this. Heavenly Father, come to you as a sinner. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son that through him I may have eternal life. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hand. I confess this with my heart, with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. And he said, if I did so, I shall be saved. So I'm saying it now, God. Come into my heart. Save me. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life. And right now, in Jesus' name, I rebuke him from all areas of my life. Father, thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, again, if you'd like to have prayer, if you need prayer, if you need to contact me, you can reach me on Facebook, Brian Blessingame. Also on Snapchat, Brian Blessingame. And also on Instagram, Brian Blessingame. So until next week, if the Lord's willing, be blessed. Things that you can do in decency and in order, but most of all, do it for his glory. We love you all. Till next week or tomorrow, be blessed. Good night and amen. Kimmy Kim, would you please take us out? God bless you.
should want to get there one day.